Good to have you this evening, and if you're visiting with us, we consider you an honored guest. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. And if you find truth has been taught, we hope you'll make the proper application. If you need to be baptized into Christ, we'd be glad to immerse you into Christ for the remission of your sins, as is taught in Acts 2:38 and other places. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, we'll be glad to pray with and for you that your soul be right with the God of heaven. In the 35th Psalm, or Isaiah 35, look with me, if you will, at verse 1. And notice the statement, "The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose." You know, there are some texts that when you just read from God's holy word, they bring comfort and strength when you're discouraged. You can preach on such great texts time and time again and never exhaust the great lessons one can learn from that individual in our life. And one such text that I go to many times is in Isaiah 35. This text has given me much comfort in time of great distress. I'm not ashamed to go back and preach another sermon in a different way when I look at a text like Isaiah 35, because I believe that we can make proper application to our life. I want you to observe that in Isaiah 35, the prophet uses two words that catch our attention. Two words that are completely different. The first word I want you to observe is wasteland or desert. Now, what comes to your mind when someone mentions the word desert? Brother Jason and Brother Danny have been over in Israel, and I'm sure they saw the wilderness of Judea. And when you saw the wilderness of Judea, you saw a wasteland. You would see something that is desolate, where there is no life there. And here the prophet is talking about that their life shall become a desert. It will become desolate. But then he brings up a second word, and if you have your Bible, underscore the word rose. Now, what comes to your mind when somebody mentions the word rose? We think of something beautiful. We think of something given to express love and joy, and it represents life and hope. And so in our study, I want you to think about those two words, "the desert shall blossom as a rose." Now, what is Isaiah talking about when he talks about the desert blossoming as a rose? Well, at this time, the people of God had reached a low place. They're not living right with God. They're not dedicated to God. Go back, if you will, kindly, to the Isaiah and the first chapter. And look at some of the sins of the people at this particular time. In Isaiah chapter 1, look in verse 3. And notice a contrast. He says, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider." Now here God gives quite an insult to the people. He said, a donkey knows its master's crib, the ox knows its owner, but my people do not know me. Here is some dumb animal, and that animal knows who its owner is, who knows who its master is, but at this time, Israel did not recognize that God was their master, that He was the true and living God. Then look at what he says in verse 4. "Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward." Now, look at that very carefully. There was a lot in that one verse. We see that they were ungrateful. We see that they were a nation that was sinful and laden with iniquity, evildoers, corrupt, and they had forsaken the Lord and provoked Him to anger, and they've slidden away from God. So when I read my Bible in the book of Isaiah, I see they have gone away from the Lord. How sad, and look at the people of that day, not worshiping the Lord their God the way that they should. And when they did not worship God as He had commanded, and they would not listen to the prophet of old, after he warned them, Isaiah tells them, because of their unwillingness to repent, that the Assyrians would come upon them. That the Assyrians would attack the people, and that a nation would become desolate. The cities would become empty. The images of a desert, desolation, death, no hope. Why? They've slidden away from God. Anytime you take God out of the picture, I'll tell you one thing you do, you take hope out of the picture. And you take away beauty. You take away that which is wonderful. And here, the people living in sin had taken God out, and because of that, God is going to make that nation desolate. But notice the contrasting word, that they would bloom as a rose, they would blossom as a rose. This was the prophecy not only of the coming back, but of the coming of Jesus and His work to bring the people back into fellowship with God, to bring hope and joy to the people. Do you see how the picture changes? In one image, you see desolation, you see death, you see destruction. And then you look at the picture of the rose and you see gloom turning to beauty. You see that which is ugly becoming that which is gorgeous by the power of God. But do you recognize that can happen in individuals' lives? There's others who found this statement to be true. Look at the man identified as Moses. When you think of Moses, you'll remember that he was a man who had killed the Egyptian when he was in Egypt. Though he was a prince of Egypt, though he was Pharaoh's grandson by adoption, when he killed the Egyptian, they were going to put Moses to death. So what does Moses do? He flees to the desert. He goes to that place of desolation. And there he tends sheep. But after 40 years, what does he do? He comes back as the leader of the people of God. And by God's power, he leads them to the threshold of the promised land. Do you see how something can look desolate? For 40 years, Moses may have thought, I've wasted my life. I thought I was going to be the one to lead the people out of Egypt. But because it didn't come in the way he expected, he thought he was a failure until God got his attention and said, Moses, it's not going to be by your might, but by my might they'll be led out of Egypt. But then look at Joseph. When you look at that young man who was thrown into the pit, then sold into Potiphar's house, then put in prison. You look at a man who'd been falsely accused. You look at a man who tried to live right. Here was a man who was good looking, as the book of Genesis in the 39th chapter in verse 6 said, and Pharaoh's wife looked upon him with lustful eyes and tempted him consistently to try to lie with her, and he consistently refused her. And one day he comes into the home where there's no one else there, and she grabs him by the garment, and that man runs. And what does she do? She takes the garment and said, he tried to force me. And that man is put in prison. Someone may say, well, why would God allow that? And it may look like he's in a desolate place. It might look like that man has been put out and that man has no hope. But my friend, he goes from the prison to the palace. He becomes second in command of Egypt. But I'll tell you something else. When you look at the picture one time, it can look desolate, and then you can see something beautiful coming out of it. God used Joseph to bring his family out of the famine, and they had food in the land of Goshen. God used that at that time. But then if you think about in the book of Acts in the 16th chapter, a man identified as Pilate or Paul, and you'll remember his friend Silas, who were singing praises to God. They'd been beaten and had many stripes laid upon their body. Why? They preached the gospel. And they'd been bound in prison. And after being bound in prison and after being beaten, what are those men doing? They're singing praises to God. They're going through a desert at that time. As a place of great pain and despair, they may be concerned about what's going to happen to them. But at the time that they are in the prison, they accept the fact that they're there and they sing praises to God and they turn the desert into a field of roses. Now then, have you ever thought about that's true today? Now first, I can't make any promises that this life will get any better for people or that troubles will disappear. And to be honest, this world will always have suffering and heartache. We live in a desert place because we live in a place that is dead spiritually. All around us, we see people who are not following God. They're living in the filth of sin. And because of that, there's desolation. And for them, there's no hope because they're not in Christ. But in the midst of that desert, notice there are people who are following God. Look at the local church at Eastside. Have you ever thought that there's a rose among the thorns when you look out and you see your brothers and sisters in Christ? When you see people that love you trying to help you get to heaven? Isn't it something tonight to know there are people that are concerned about your soul, concerned about your well-being? And I'll tell you, in the midst of the desert, when you look at the church, you see a rose among the thorns. But then you think about, secondly, when we're faced with the desert, we don't know what's on the other side of that desert. You remember Marty Robbins wrote a song years ago that Elvis sang, "Lord, you gave me a mountain this time." Oh, that's a powerful song. He said, "It's one I don't know if I can climb." Well, what do you do? What do you do when life seems desolate? What do we do when there's sickness and we're on our back, and we can't get around like we one time did, and we hurt? Things look different when you're on your back horizontal than they do when we're standing up. And many times, when we're on our back, at least we're looking up, and maybe in that time of gloom and despair, we can start to think about good things, about spiritual things, about being right with God. What about family problems? When we have problems in the local home and in the home life, have you ever thought about when we have family problems that it looks gloomy? But have you ever thought about we keep praying for our family and working for our family, just like that father in Luke 15? Now, I don't know if your child, if they're not faithful, if they'll ever come home, but I'll tell you one thing, you keep looking for them. And I'll tell you something else. Don't ever allow anyone in your family to take your eyes off Jesus. Don't allow anybody to distract you from your God, the God of heaven, the true and living God that can take a desert and turn it into a rose. When we're filled with spiritual troubles, when we're struggling with sin, and we're trying to do what is right, isn't it something to know that we can overcome through Jesus Christ our spiritual troubles? And even when death comes, oh, the desert of fear of death, and yet to think we sing about heaven where the roses never fade. The desert shall blossom as a rose. I love that statement. The great physician is pictured wiping away the tears that no one else sees. And as the psalmist said, binding our broken hearts and giving us strength. And who can tell what strong and moral growth are to spring out of all the tragic desolation of our time? You know, people may look at our life and see us suffering and ask, why this? But when the rose blooms out of the desert, God will be glorified. Have you ever thought that the greatest act on earth, the greatest demonstration of love was a cross? You talk about a desert. You talk about desolation. You talk about loneliness. But out of that cross came the rose of Sharon. Out of those thorns came the rose of the one who can give me salvation. Out of the grave came the rose of Sharon. Out of the desert, roses can bloom. I'll tell you something. sometimes, if we're not careful, we start to look around and feel sorry for our situation. And I understand that. We all can do that. But there's one thing we got to remember. For the Christian, our best life is not here. It's to come. There may be people that on this life seem to go through tragedy after tragedy, heartache after heartache, problem after problem. But if we keep our faith in God, I'll tell you, there will come a day that we see the rose. That's what I want for each and every one of us. One day to be in heaven and to be with God. Where the desert has been done away with, but that we're with the one who loves us dearly. And to be where the roses never fade. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you'll do so. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you to come.